Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, episode 132, The History of Trucking. We're here with Sean Reischauer.
What up?
In the building, in the studio.
Yes,
thanks
indeed
for being here.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Yeah. Always am.
Podcast junkie.
Podcast junkie, you could say that, I suppose.
That's good. Well, we got a fun topic here. It's Nussbaum's 80th anniversary coming up in later this year, I think maybe August. So this was something that we wanted to talk about starting from a long time ago.
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Yeah, we want to capture this idea of the history of trucking. And no better time to do that is an anniversary for our company. So
right,
I think that's
pretty
cool. Yeah.
And Sean, you're somewhat of a geography expert too, so this helps you with your credentials, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I would say expert by any means, but my undergrad was in geography. Mm-hmm. So I went to Arizona State for college and I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I'd always liked geography and earth science and physical geography and things of that nature. So that's what I ended up getting my degree in, and I ended up in transportation, which is adjacent to it. I more do logistics than like geography that you'd have in a textbook.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's still kind of a cool application.
For sure.
It,
so, yeah. Transportation is bringing one thing from one place to another.
Exactly.
That's what geography is.
It's
from places to other places.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
exactly. So it'll be cool here and there to kind of add a little bit of my undergrad in there. It's like, man, I haven't used this, brushing it off since from 2018 when I graduated college. So it's been a minute, but it's nice to kind of dust it off a little bit and be like, hey, this is cool.
So as a geography major, do people ask you like, where's Botswana?
Yes.
All the time.
And the thing is like, I actually lean more towards the like physical geography side of things because I liked meteorology, weather, things like that.
Yeah.
And physical structures and stuff like that. So when people say you have a geography degree, they're like, oh, so you just like know where all the countries and states are. It's like, okay, I did have like one or two classes where I had to do that.
Yeah.
But like that's one of those things you cram before the test.
Yeah.
You take the test and once you're done,
gone. But you're still pretty good at GeoGuessr.
I am pretty good at GeoGuessr. Yeah, that's a good,
That's good. And so then how'd you end up, also seminary is something that you're in right now.
Or I finished
you
it.
You finished seminary,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I finished it last spring.
Last spring.
Yeah, so while while I was working this job, it's something that had just been set on my heart. And it's something I loved doing. I just do a lot of research on my own, the kind of more academic side of Christianity, scripture, and all that stuff. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I was doing so much of it that I'm like, I might as well like get a degree while I'm doing this. Over a few years, I was doing that on the side, and I finished that last spring. So
huge accomplishment while at work. I mean, like doing a full-time job and doing that.
Oh, yeah. 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 Basically just trade my weekends for it, which was a little tough for a while. But when I graduated, I didn't regret it. But I was also like, thank goodness I'm done. I'm free. I get Saturdays back.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then you spend those Saturdays preparing pranks in the office.
Some of those happen on the fly, but some of them are premeditated, if you will. But yeah, the good old classic is just photoshopping myself into other people's pictures on their desks. So I've done that a number of times, but there are plenty of times throughout the day, where something kind of comes up and I can just create a meme and put people's faces on things. I actually have a whole Word document of all of my coworkers, the other CACs faces. So I could like quick edit them. So that's I'm just putting that in there.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is scary. I'm putting that in there for my boss. Yeah. So they know that like, hey, I might be making memes of my coworkers, but I've prepared it in such a way that I can do it very quickly and get right back to work. All right. So it's not distracting me from my work.
I'm very efficient.
You know, so I'm still getting my job done, but I might drop a meme or two of photoshopping my coworkers' faces on something funny. So, you know.
That's fun. My favorite office prank is when someone leaves their computer unlocked, I make their mouse the giant mouse.
Yes.
You can turn it all the way up where it's like half the size of your computer.
Yep.
Just tried and true classic.
Yeah. Yep, you can change the color too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that a number of times too.
It's good.
I'm actually still waiting one of the newer CACs, his name's Jeb. Still waiting for an opportunity to catch him with his computer unlocked. And I almost did the other day, but he walked back and I was sitting there and he's like, "Hey, stop it." And I'm like, "Okay."
But he's too good.
I'll get him.
Yeah.
I'll get him.
To watch out.
Yeah.
So you have quite the area of expertise, you know, and it comes in the trucking. It's been 6 years at Nussbaum, coming up in March, right? March
18th.
18th.
18th. Yeah. Cool. That'll be my 6 year anniversary, which is like insane to think about.
It's huge.
I still feel like the new guy.
Yeah.
Truly. Like,
yeah.
So it's really crazy.
Yeah. And with this podcast, we're not experts. We're here. We're both interested in trucking, but to say that we're experts is, yeah.
Probably not the case. Like even at Nussbaum itself, yeah. I'd probably consider us maybe not the least qualified to discuss this, but maybe the bottom quartile. Yes. There's probably some people who know way more about the history of trucking than we do or have actual experience doing it because I think this is true for you. Like before this job, we didn't really have much exposure to trucking, right? Is that true for you as well?
This is true. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not even something like we've grown up with, but you know what we can do? We can do something that our generation does the best. Which is Googling stuff. So that's exactly what we've done.
Exactly what we set out and we Googled this.
We Googled things. Bunch. We compiled a bunch of research and it'll just be fun to kind of run through it. And, you know, I'm kind of a facts research driven guy. So this is kind of exciting.
Perfect match made.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of fun for me. And maybe here and there I'll insert some geographical knowledge if I have it. So
some stories and some geography knowledge.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
I forgot my one connection to trucking, I guess, before this was I grew up on a grain elevator.
Okay.
So there was a lot of trucking. It was just grain.
Yeah.
So not across the country like what we're doing here.
Right.
But grain and feed.
Okay.
So that was kind of a little bit of a connection. I worked there for maybe like 3 years. So
okay,
but
that's cool.
Yeah, just as like a manual labor. So
okay. So now you're an expert.
Now I'm an expert.
That's how it works.
Exactly. Right.
Exactly.
So, great segue into our topic today, which is the history of trucking.
Yeah.
Which is a huge topic, but this has been really interesting to look into. So. What if I told you that the trucking industry as you know it today started because of World War I, bootleggers, and a simple invention that changed everything? Mm. What do you think, Sean?
I mean, I think that sounds like an excellent clickbait title if I've ever heard one. You know? Yeah. Like if I saw that there, it's like, I have to find out
bootleggers,
more. Bootleggers,
in the trucking
World
industry.
War, you know, who, like those are not the things you think of when you think of trucking.
Right.
You know? And I think that's what makes this more than just a list of facts. It makes it interesting.
Mm.
It makes it interesting to see how the history kind of comes together.
Yeah, everyone's stories come together for this. So buckle up. Let's go time traveling.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, Sean, what is the heart of transportation? Like, where did this fire began for transportation?
Well, transportation, like, people in general understand, transportation is pretty important. But I think the scale of which is totally not realized a lot of the time. Transportation truly is a catalyst to the development of civilization as we know it. It is critical just to how, like, in the very early years, gatherings of people, villages, cities, and places developed, and how people communicated with each other. So something we talk about a lot in geography is a term called globalization. So this term kind of refers to the interconnectedness of the world. So instead of like places and people and communities being isolated, as time has gone on and places have developed, we've grown more interdependent on one another. And right now, this is driven a lot by like information technologies and communication and the internet. As the internet has gotten more and more popular, it's way easier to connect with people anywhere on the world, trade, you know, whatever, sell things. And you can even see it with like other cultures have a lot of American culture coming in. And then we likewise have a lot of other cultures coming into where we are too. So it's that kind of like economical and cultural fusion that happens is this globalization term. But originally what drove that was transportation, because you couldn't, before that, the internet, you even needed transportation to communicate. But I mean, the biggest, most important thing is the trading of goods, right? Some places have something that you need, and then you have something that they need. So you got to get them to each other. And that in it of itself impacted the development of civilizations and cities and things like that. To a point that people may not realize, like, for example, in like the eastern United States, these older cities are more dense. They build more up than out.
Yeah.
And as things developed, and as we went more and more west, transportation also developed. So then, living in suburbs became possible, because typically you'd need to live close to where you worked. But as it became more and more accessible to vehicles and things like that, then like even cities started building up less and out more. And you see that as you go west, as a generalization. It's not always true. I mean, like LA, for example, like that's just massively dense. But as generally as you go west, you kind of see some cities like spread out a little bit more, because in that time when they were being developed and created, like you now have this option of vehicles,
right?
Which has been a massive impact to transportation. That's, I mean, it's crucial. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if this is going too far, but we wouldn't have cities without trucking.
Yeah.
To think that these are the things that drive the economies.
Right.
That is the backbone of any commerce. To sell something is to have it transported to you.
Right.
So it is very integral to everything that a thriving country needs to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. But
big deal.
It goes truly, though, as impactful and major scale that transportation has been in everything, you know, from development of cities to even how, who we are as people, how we've been shaped and formed, like all of that being impacted by how big this thing is, all really boils down and starts with the invention of the wheel. That's it. One thing.
So take us to the beginning.
Yeah.
What the we're going all the way back to the wheel?
We're going all the way back
to the wheel. We skipped the automobile.
Yes.
The invention of the semi-truck. We're going to the wheel.
We're going to the wheel.
We're going way back.
We're going way back. Because like you could, you know, travel on like camels and donkeys and things like that, but you'd be pretty limited on how many things you can bring from one place to another or by foot. Until you have a cart, until you have a wagon, until you can roll, right? So the wheel, it was actually invented, they believe, scientists believe, back in like 4500 to 3300 BC, which is the first evidence we have of solid wooden wheels being used in vehicles. And this is based off of some archaeological evidence off of this pot. It's called the Bronisus pot, and it's called that because it was discovered in 1975 in the village of Bronisus, Poland. And the dating of the pot is about 3500 BC. And on it, there are these depictions that appears to be what appears to be wagons with axles and wheels on it. And that's one of the older kind of archaeological findings that support this. So a lot of scientists believe that's roughly about when the wheel began, when you started having wagons. And then the first stone streets, which would have been important as well to move things around, appeared to be built in the city of Ur around 4000 to around 4000 BC, which interestingly enough,
familiar.
Ur, 2000 years later from when these stone roads were first built, would be where Abraham was born.
Wow.
In that exact same city. I mean, there's always debate, like locationally, different traditions observe different things, but a lot of research believes, and a lot of Bible scholars believe, that it's the same Ur that Abraham was born to. So I think that's kind of cool.
Pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah.
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 It's one time there was no wheel.
Yep. Yep.
A time before there was no wagon, or how'd they figure out to use roads? Like,
right.
This wagon's not working really well. We need to get some roads in here.
It's like these wheels keep breaking. We can't get over these, like, all these bumps and these things like that. So now let's build roads, you know? So I think that's pretty cool. And And speaking of the Bible, I mean, because the seminary thing, right?
Yeah.
I gotta enter it in anywhere. One of the first mentions of transportation in the Bible, specifically like the moving of goods, is in Genesis 45. There's some others, but this is the one that jumped out to me. And it's the story of Joseph. He gives his brothers wagons and provisions for the journey to relocate Jacob after they reconcile, after Joseph becomes like, you know, second in command over all of Egypt. And it's a big deal, you know, and he has that whole thing with his brothers. And but yeah, in Genesis 45, it talks about that, where he gives them wagons and provisions for this journey to relocate them back to Egypt as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
So that's the first mention of transportation in the Bible.
Yeah. There, I mean, that I could find that I think was kind of interesting, specifically transportation of like goods and stuff like that. So I think that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But
nothing mentioned about trucking, though, just,
you know,
transportation.
I did scour every single word, every single page of the scriptures, hunting for any mention of trucking, and I was really disappointed that I could not find it. I could not find it. Right. No, it's too bad. It's such a shame.
So how did it go from those local, you know, going from local place to place? How did it spread more so? How did this develop over time?
Right. Naturally, like as, you know, technology and transportation grows and develops, the scope of it would as well. So as it became easier to transport things, roads, wagons, improvements in engineering and whatever, you were able to go further and further. So then you started to see, when you're talking transportation historically, like ancient, what you're going to think about first probably is the spice trade. There's a lot of spice trades going on from like anywhere from like Europe all the way down to like Southeast Asia and all throughout, like everywhere between that too. And a lot of that happened over water too. So like Mediterranean boats, you know, traveling from there over through the Indian Ocean and things like that. And so the spice trade, I mean, that was as early as 1000 BC and that went all the way up to the 1800s. So that has just been a crucial like economical thing that's been going on in that area for a very, very long time. But then also you can't talk about it that without also talking about the Silk Road, which
is... What is the Silk Road?
Yeah, it's a historical trade route that spans from like the Middle East kind of area, kind of the extent of Rome's... when Rome was not Rome, a Roman civilization, you know, during the Roman Empire, the extent of that was kind of where it starts on the eastern side of that, and then it went throughout most of Asia and through into China and things like that. And this is probably one of the most famous historical trade routes that dates all the way back to 130 BC and was pretty much used up until 1450. And it was just the center route for transportation and trade. So it was very, I imagine it as like this really like lively environment, you know, where you got merchants, you know, walking up and down, you know, animals, pulling stuff. Yeah, all those things. And it spans, and it spans so far that like the range of like culture and people would be crazy. Yeah. There'd be lots of different... because we're so interconnected now that we're used to other cultures. But I imagine back then, it you know, you never left your little village, and then you go on this Silk Road and you have people coming from, you know, Europe all the way through China with different languages and different cultures. And it not only was one of the centers of the exchanging of goods, but also of culture, philosophy, religion, and even disease. I think... when talking about the Black Plague, some believe that the Silk Road was kind of the catalyst that kind of started that, as it kind of helped it travel. So
good and bad.
Good and bad, yeah. For better or for worse. I think more better than worse, hopefully. But, you know, there's pros and cons for that.
Yeah, so it's cool to think that not only goods, but invisible things,
yes,
such as culture,
yeah,
even when you get a product from somewhere else, that itself is distributing culture from some other place.
Yeah.
So there's... non-physical things that are happening as these things are getting transported.
Absolutely.
Connectedness. And
like the development of languages even. Like there are some languages that were used as trade languages that many people might not know each other's native language, but they both know this trading language and it was just understood and they just use it now. Mm. Like in modern day, English is probably the most used trade language. Mm-hmm. Like you could have two people that don't originally speak English, but they use English to communicate for business and for trade and things like that, just because of the influence, you know, that English speaking countries have over the world, you know. So, but if you go all the way back, there's been historically tons of different languages that have been used just for trade, which is crazy too. So again, transportation is a big deal.
It is a big deal. It connects us as people.
Yeah.
We talked about this, the connectedness we need today. You can't do it without other people. Like, we have to depend on other people when we're getting something. And your job, you work a lot with connectedness, like coordinating with our customers and keeping that. And so if you order a package, and let's say you don't, you just stay in your home, you never leave your home, but you order a package, no, even if you're trying to live by yourself, it still required lots and lots of people to bring you that package.
Right.
So no matter how hard you try to not be connected, you can't escape it.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if you're like the most skillful genius in the world, or you have the best idea in the world, or whatever. It none of that really matters unless you have some way to transport the things that you need. So you could build the best product in the world, but truly, who cares if it can't actually get to people? People who work in transportation historically or currently are just pivotal for the development of any country and honestly just for the well-being of the people within it.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Yeah.
Truly.
And you made a point too that I thought was really important to think about. It's a good symbol of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
How we need each other and just relying on other people. It's like, this is what the heart of transportation is, people and connecting people, connecting goods.
Yeah.
It all works together.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you can't just have a body of just all eyes or pinky toes, you know, like you need every sort of piece of the body. And like how a country develops and how people operate for anything to work. That's exactly a beautiful picture that the scriptures have put towards the body of Christ, you know, and I think you could definitely consider that same kind of imagery when you think of transportation being a key piece that kind of connects them all. It's almost like, I don't know, what would you call that? Maybe like the bones of the body, like what connects everything? Maybe the muscles of the body, you know,
it's the
like
trucking is the tissue of the
yeah, it's something. Maybe it's like the neuro system or whatever, you know, cause it provides the energy to the whole body, or the veins or something, because that's actually good, because it transports the blood. There you go, because you can't use your hands if you don't have blood in it.
It's true.
So, you know, everybody talks about the brain because they think it's so cool, but the brain is useless unless you have the blood and your hands and your body, because then you can't use anything. So same goes in with transportation and products and things in a country. But
interesting. I like that.
Yeah, I always love getting philosophical with it.
Bring that philosophy in.
Oh, yes, sir.
So how did we get to faster moving vehicles? Like thinking about some of the next steps being steam powered.
Yeah.
How did we start getting cars and stuff like that?
Yeah. Some of the earliest development of more improved transportation, as you're saying, because wagons and carriages, horse-drawn carriages and things like that, didn't last forever, is probably the earliest is steam power. So if we look at steam power, that steam power has been was something very early on that like early inventors and people messed around with. So the earliest I could find was this very simple steam engine around 30 to 15 BC that was built by this Roman architect named Vitruvius. It's a very very Roman name.
Very Roman name.
Very. As time went on, that steam power had been experimented with and developed more and more and more and more. And I think what's really kind of fun is what some consider perhaps to be the first working steam-powered vehicle wasn't even able to be ridden by man. It was actually just a toy. Do you want to give a shot at this guy's name?
Ferdinand Verbius.
Verbius.
He was on mission to China.
Yeah.
Apparently on a mission trip to China. And that's when he built this toy.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's a steam powered vehicle, if you want to call it that. really it's just a toy. But like, if you're trying to find the first, you know, it's like, okay, well, technically, this guy made this steam powered vehicle around 1672 as a toy for the emperor. So that was kind of technically the first steam powered vehicle.
Yeah, so 1672. So before this time, they had steam powered engines for trains.
Correct.
And so they're like, okay, let's take these trains.
Well,
and
actually, I don't even know. I would have to look that up. I'm not sure when trains started. I think that's been all a part of this because steam powered engines were still pretty in its infant ages at this point. It wasn't until like over the 50 years after that happened where steam engine would see several significant developments. So that ultimately started leading to more steam powered vehicles. And I'm not actually sure where trains fall in that. That would be kind of interesting to see. Yeah, we focused a little bit more on the trucks.
We're going to focus on the truck part. And actually, I got a statistic that 72% of all U.S. freight is trucking versus going by train or plane or by sea. 72% of U.S. commerce is trucking. I think that's cool to see. It's like, there's other transportations play into it, but we'll get to the trucking part here.
Exactly. And it's interesting how trucking, I mean, trucks didn't exist yet. So in these early forms of transportation, it wasn't around. But as things develop, like some of these other transportation methods still get used, but eventually trucking starts to take over. It starts to become the more accessible, efficient, you know, type of way of doing it, which is pretty cool to kind of see how that all kind of comes together. So
the steam powered starts to develop a little bit more the next 50 years.
Yep.
And they make vehicles big enough to transport people. So they can start getting some people. So this new technology is gaining some steam,
You could say. You could say it's gaining some steam for sure into the late 1700s and over the next century, pretty much. It's not until the 1900s when steam-powered vehicles kind of hit their peak and then really fell off. And they really fell off because of this simple thing called combustion engines. So that was really
game changer.
Yeah, that was the game changer, and that started taking over as that became more and more efficient. So, but those internal combustion engines, those kind of started around the 1790s is when that began, and developed more. Those engines developed more throughout the 1800s, but it still took a minute before they had the first vehicle reasonable vehicle operated by combustion engines.
So what was one of those first vehicles, the combustion engine?
Yeah.
That was...
When someone asks that, like the first thing people probably think of is like the Model T.
Right.
Right? It's like, oh, the Model T, that was like the first like car, right? And that was the first like accessible kind of car, but the first of what you could have considered like a modern car was, it certainly doesn't look like what modern vehicles are, but it could classify it because of the parts that make it up, is the Benz Patent motor wagon, which was in 1885. And it was the first kind of practical automobile that was created using combustion engines. And it was made by the German engineer Carl Benz. So
this is the first one that you could actually use, not like a little toy model.
Correct. Not a toy model. People can ride in it, and it was like commercially sold. So it wasn't like just like some engineering research that higher end people could. It's like, no, like we're actually going to make this, produce it, and sell it.
Yep.
It was probably very expensive. Yep. It wasn't really efficient and reasonable for most of people to get. That's where the Model T kicks in, and that's why so many people know about that.
So 23 years later, the Model T is starting development, and it's the mass affordable car.
Yes.
Where the everyday person could go out and buy a car.
Exactly.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and that's truly what changed so many things. To me, when I think of like the history and development of things, that's definitely a milestone in engineering and development, was the Model T. Because I mean, it's cool to make a car, but it doesn't truly impact the world until it becomes accessible to the common man.
Yeah.
And that's where the Model T kind of came in. And that's where like you see city development change, and you see transportation change, and you know, the transportation of goods and things like that. So that was cool.
Yeah. So you have people using cars, and I'm sure that there are people trying to move or do whatever in the city.
Right.
And they're trying to transport stuff. And they're right. like, this isn't working really well. Mm-mm. So the first tractor trailer invention was, this is a pivotal thing that had to happen if you want transportation of goods to happen.
Yeah.
So August Fruhau, that's a very German, I think it's a German name, Fruhau, from Detroit, he made that invention to move lumber. So he made the first tractor trailer. He called it a semi-trailer.
Okay.
And he licensed this fifth wheel design to attach a trailer to a truck quickly. And he called it a fifth wheel because that fifth wheel where the trailer locks in looked like a wagon wheel. So that's kind of where the name came from. So when people say if you're new to trucking, that fifth wheel is where that trailer just makes it super easy to get a trailer and to drop a trailer off.
Yeah.
Without having that design, it would be very difficult to do something like that.
Right. It's all coming together.
Yeah, it's all coming together.
I'm starting to see the path now, you know.
The math is mathing.
Yes, indeed it is.
So you can start swapping trailers quickly.
Right.
So you grab a load of lumber, drop it off, let me grab another trailer,
right.
and keep moving.
Right.
So this is a really, you can see things starting to happen.
That would be a useful thing, but just kind of like the Benz car and the Model T, like having something like that, or someone discovering that or engineering that is cool, mm-hmm. but it doesn't truly impact society until it becomes massively relevant.
Hmm.
So my question is, that's cool that he made that,
right.
but when does that like
launch, propagate?
When does that
eventually
expand into?
Yeah. So I mentioned this in the opener, World War I was a huge thing that transformed transportation. Mm. And it was really a catalyst that was used to carry people and goods.
Yeah.
They needed to carry lots of people and they needed to carry lots of goods. And the first one of these trucks that was popularized was called the Liberty Truck. Mm. So you can Google a picture of this Liberty Truck and it looks like kind of like a big old wagon with wheels that looks like a car. So a mix between a wagon and a car, and it did a really good job at doing what it was supposed to do,
right.
But still very rudimentary, but was widely used in World War I.
And that's so fascinating that, but it also makes so much sense that a war, unfortunately, was kind of the means of which pushed forward the development of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it would make sense because like it's like you need it.
Yeah.
You realize there's a need and you put your best minds to it and then they create something and then they create more of it. And then as life continues on, it's like, wait, some of these things are, I mean, carrying around people and goods is useful, not just for war efforts, we could use this for other things too. We
could use this back home.
Yeah, exactly. So, but kind of
my couch.
Yeah, exactly. We need to know where to move that. But similar to the wheel coming before the stone roads, I'm curious how the development of the trucks and more transportation impact the means of which we drive around on.
Yeah, so the roads.
Yeah.
You're talking about the roads. How did the invention of trucks and trailers affect roads?
Yeah.
And I think also at the same time, too, like tires, wheels and tires were kind of something that were they were still working on. Not
right.
The greatest design.
Yeah.
So, that's a great thing you brought up. I think World War I brought out the fact of what are our roads like in America. So we're speaking about this in the US, so coming from that perspective. So in 1919, the US Army sent an expedition across the US to determine the difficulties that military vehicles would have on a cross-country trip. Basically, how long would it take to get from one side to another?
Yeah.
So they left from the White House on July 7th, and they had a convoy. Took 62 days to drive 3,200 miles. So to drive across the U.S., 62 days.
Wow.
Do you know how long that would take to drive that today?
62 days to drive 3,200 miles
is
kind of hilarious. The average is to about like 52 miles a day. And what we like to use in operations, we like to consider like a, just a rough estimate of 500 miles a day, considering hours of service and things like that.
Yeah.
If you're going out west, you can maybe cover more ground and maybe up to 600 miles a day. So I'm sure any drivers listening would be like, oh, I can cover more than that, or no, that's way too much. You know, it just depends obviously on like traffic and other things too.
Yeah.
But if you're talking like a rough estimate of 500 to 600 miles a day, like that's over 10 times as much as what they were able to cover back then.
It was awful. Yeah. Like the roads that they were encountering were pitiful.
Right.
And this discovered a need. We need to improve the roads that we have.
Right.
They're very bad. And so encounter many setbacks such as bad bridges, broken crankshafts, engines clogged with desert sand.
Right.
And one of those people on that convoy was future President Dwight Eisenhower, who was at the time 28 years old and a lieutenant colonel. And so he says this quote about that trip. He says, "It was through darkest America with truck and tank," as he later described it. "Some roads in the West were a succession of dust, ruts, pits, and holes." So just really bad conditions. Like you can imagine what this was like.
I don't think I have to imagine. It just sounds like roads in Illinois, right? Like
massive potholes.
Successions of dust, ruts, pits, and holes.
This is exactly the Midwest. Illinois.
Not much has changed there, at least here. Yeah. But no.
Right.
But yeah, I mean that.
Yeah.
It's like it would make sense because you wouldn't put a lot of effort towards the roads if there wasn't like a need for it. Mm. It's not until you have a need for it that you realize, wait, like these are in pretty bad shape.
Yeah.
Like what, like it's interesting how like one development and invention leads to the furthering of another one. Mm. And transportation, while a lot of the focus, you know, rightfully is on the trucks and things like that, the roads have a significant impact on the development of it as well.
For sure.
Yeah.
And the right people were there at the right time because Dwight Eisenhower became a huge person and with the highway expansion. So he was one of those critical people that helped the Federal Highway Act. Mm. So they start construction shortly after that of highways to expand, opening the door to long distance trucking. Mm. So there was more this local trucking. There's so definitions, LTL stands for
less than truckload.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So you might have multiple customers you're caring for and it's more shorter distance.
Right.
And we've also, the other is OTR.
Over
so you
the
hear
road.
That term a lot, yeah. Which OTR is over the road, meaning long distance trucking. You'll have a full trailer of whatever you're carrying, or hopefully full load.
Yeah.
So what happened shortly after that, 1921, was the Federal Aid Highway Act, which the focus was to improve existing roads. So this gave more government funds to improve the interstate system. Mm. So this was the first highway act, and then later Dwight Eisenhower steps in and he really adds new roads and things like that. But right afterwards, they start to focus on improving, and they also started to number highways. Mm-hmm. So it was done by private companies and people. So the numbering system was not consistent. You'd go from one place and they'd start working one way, and then another place they'd start going somewhere else. So it was very confusing.
Right.
Like to get around was...
Like it would make sense locally because it's like that system was probably made up by whoever was there locally. But then like once you go a little further, that's probably where it gets confusing because it's like, wait, they're using these different numbers. They're doing this kind of thing. Like there needs to be some sort of centralization.
Yeah, it's
all
like
this.
I've been on the second Sean Reischauer road today. Like what's it's like whoever's naming the roads is just naming them after themselves.
Right? Well, I don't know. I think that road name's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good too. Yeah. So, hey, who knows?
What is it? I should know this because, you know, geography and all that, but hey, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I guess geography and the fact I'm in transportation. But what is it again? Is it the odd numbers are north and south or east and west? Because, right, it's like odd highway numbers are one direction and even. I know people are probably screaming at us now.
I know. east to west is the even?
Is the even ones?
Daniel?
Does anyone know this?
We'll double check that later.
Okay. Because Because, like, if there's any proof that we aren't the experts in this topic, right. This is it.
This yeah. is it.
But
this
there is a structure. There is a system.
There's a
it.
Structure.
Yeah.
That's a great point. And then also around this time, we're talking the 1920s and 30s.
Yeah.
The Prohibition, I mentioned that also at the beginning.
Right.
The Prohibition and bootleggers helped... this is not a great thing, doing something illegal, but they developed a system of transporting goods. And so this indirectly promoted the trucking industry and the expansion. You had a lot more customers of people looking to get into the transportation industry. Huh. So this was another thing that led to the boost of trucking.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
And so... Then we're looking at different types of, so you can only transport so many goods, and also reefer trailers. So for the people that don't know, what is a reefer trailer?
Yeah, it's like some goods require to stay at certain temperatures. Mm-hmm. So reefer trailers just are refrigerated trailers, right? It's just
pretty
trailers
much.
that can have temperature control on them.
Yeah. And before that, they would just have to get ice and put as much ice as they could in, and then, all right, let's put our milk in here and
call it good.
Hope it doesn't go bad. So they need it. So the invention of the refrigerated trucks came from an army general. And so this is 1930s. Fred Jones came up with that invention. So they used to just do ice and also barrels of brine. I'm not sure how that works. So just salt and ice kept it really cold.
But this is huge, because now we can get ice cream around much better. We can get milk around much better.
You're right. Podcast for a different day, but talking about ice cream would be another great one to do.
Yeah.
That's a great point. So then the Interstate Commerce Commission was established, and this was to help rates and services for carriers. So to come up with some regulations around trucking. So the ICC came around. It was first for trains in the 1800s, and then later, about this time, they're coming up with regulations for trucking. Right.
Yeah.
So this is a really helpful thing.
Well, that's kind of cool, because if we go back, like the first, when we're talking that first Liberty truck, that was around the 1910, right? Trucks being used in World War II. So now we're looking at 1930. So 20 years later, now you have to have this, this Interstate Commerce Commission to establish and regulate trucking. So it's becoming big enough at this point over 20 years. It's like
enough people.
Yeah. It's like, okay, this is a thing. Now we're going to have like regulations. We're going to have terms and things like that. And so it's cool to see how it's starting to really kick off at this point.
Yeah. It's really kicking off. 1937 was the first published truck driver hours of service
rules came
out.
That's good.
Which is good, but people didn't really kind of follow them. They might keep two separate books, one for with the miles they actually ran and the ones that they would show law enforcement.
Of course.
And now we have digital logs.
Yeah.
So we, can't
it's
really
not gonna work
get
anymore.
Around that.
No, it's not.
But at that time, so this is the first time that, so you said regulations are really kicking in. It's popularizing.
Yeah.
And a big date. In 1945, you know what happened? It's a big deal.
Nothing really comes to mind, anything of significance. It's only a date I've heard maybe 5,000 times since I've started working here. But
it's only on every other trailer.
Yeah, every other trailer we have. But 1945, Nussbaum founded as a faith-based organization. It's a big year.
Yeah.
It's a big year.
It's a big year. So we're on our 80th year as a company. So 1945, still imagine what was it like to start the company then? We can say that the roads were still not great.
Probably
they're
not.
Pretty patchy, and the trucks were a lot less reliable. They probably broke down quite a bit, and you would have to do the work on the trucks probably yourself. Alden Nussbaum, our founder, he probably did some of that work himself, and you had written logs instead of electronic, obviously. So yeah, that was kind of the start of a new amazing thing.
Yeah, I would agree. A new and amazing thing. And probably very different than what it looks like today.
Very.
But
yeah,
very I'd different. Say a very critical year in the transportation industry. Might be a little biased, but.
And so as following the Nussbaum history too, 1950 was the first terminal in Fairbury, so we could handle multiple trucks.
Yeah.
So I think the fleet is starting to grow. I'm not sure how many trucks were there at that time, but that was the first terminal that was created.
Okay. There we go. It's coming together.
And so I mentioned Dwight Eisenhower. So he comes back around this time, 1956, and as the president now, he creates the highway system, which ramps up efficiency, and you don't have to weigh between each state now. So before you got to the state, you didn't know what the roads could support, so you would have to weigh between each state, and every state had different limits. So this is another thing that helps up. You could just run quicker. You don't have to wait in these long lines as much. You know, we still have to weigh, but we don't have to do it between states.
Yeah.
So... And so this gets put in place. So the other one I said was to help existing roads. This 1956 one was to expand the roads. And the initial cost was $25 billion and it ended up costing over $114 billion and took 35 years was what this happened.
That's so relatable. You ever start a project and you're like, yeah, I should be able to clean this up in about, you know, X amount of time. And then three times later, you're like, I am in over my head.
It was a lot of work. So it started when he was that young army officer going across the country. And he thinks back to that time, that convoy that he had really just helped him see we need a really. So he was an advocate for trucking.
For sure.
And for transportation and for military was a big reason, but also for our commerce and our citizens.
Right.
It was a dual purpose thing. It wasn't just about the army. I think people say that a lot of times it was for the army, but it was also for the people.
Right. Yeah. That's cool. I mean, if there's anything I've learned and that I'll take away from this is Dwight Eisenhower, surprisingly critical in the development of transportation in the United States.
Cool guy.
I never knew that, but shout out to President Eisenhower. Yeah,
he's did a lot.
Yeah, he's looking out for us.
Yeah,
trucking
really
people.
Just helped the invention of ice cream. If you really think about it,
I mean, I probably wouldn't be having ice cream as often as I am now if it weren't for people like him. You know,
that's
making
true.
It happen. You know,
and so shortly after that, 1960, Nussbaum moves from Fairbury to Normal, Illinois. So moving. Facilities, and also there's the post-World War II boom in commerce. So now people are buying lots more stuff. I think it seems like a time when people are buying more things.
Yeah.
And so trucking starts to catch on a little bit more in popular culture. You know, some of these songs start coming out, I think 70s, and some movies. There's some movies around trucking.
Yeah.
So it's becoming more and more of a kind of a popular thing.
It's not like just this like fringe thing anymore. Like it's becoming a legitimate, well-known, well-spread part of society and culture.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And the way we look at it now is a little bit different then too, since it was, so it was very revered. It was a really great thing. And I think, so looking at it, now, sometimes we can think like, oh, it's like trucking. It's not always held to a high standard. We said it has been a backbone of everything that we experience today is because
Absolutely.
Of trucking.
Yeah.
So I think looking at this history helps us see it's like, oh, how important it is that we do have trucking.
Yeah, absolutely. Like before I took this job, I knew so little about trucking at all. Mm-hmm. And all I knew was like the generalizations, you know, that there were there. And it's like, but it can't be that simple, right? There's so much more to it. And it's only when I really started learning this job and meeting the people and getting into the industry where it's like, whoa, like I didn't realize it was this complex. I didn't consider all of the logistics and things that have to get done just to get people moving, things that are in place to keep people safe, to keep drivers safe and to keep other people on the road safe. And then the implications of this industry that it has on the world. Like there was so much to discover. It's like an iceberg when it gets into transportation where it's like, if you just see the top, the common person just sees the top. But then once you get to the meat of it, it's like, wait, this is actually an incredible incredible industry with incredible people.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. And a really difficult industry where the lifestyle is just so difficult.
Yeah.
You know, the people, it's like, and it is a really great thing, but to think it's like, being on the road and some of these regulations can make it more difficult for being a driver on the road.
Yeah, for sure.
So the truckload division starts in 1968 of Nussbaum. So 1968 truckload division. So doing some more across country things and not as much local trucking. And so during this time, what was it like to work in dispatch? So you work in dispatch operations now.
Right.
And what was it like to work then? So on the LTL side, you would have a stack of manifests that you would, that would list every stop that a driver is going on. Mm-hmm. So in order to find out where is that driver, you would have to call each of those stops and ask them, hey, has this driver come by? Have you seen this driver yet? And that's how you know where they're at. And like now we can just it up.
I can't imagine if I had to do that. That would be so cumbersome. The amount of work that like just one of us can get done because of the technology we have and the systems that we work on under. Like when there are some things that seem inconvenient now, thinking back to how challenging it must have been back then without some of the tech that we use now. I mean, one just makes me so grateful for our IT team.
Yeah.
And just like the development of all of those things, because, it's kind of, it's much more efficient now that we're not like, where's our driver? We don't know. We're just going to have to call. Like now we have GPS on trucks, you know? So, that's really helpful from a customer standpoint. We can tell them, hey, yeah, driver's right around the corner. And it's really helpful from a safety standpoint. Like if something goes terribly wrong and we can't communicate with someone, we have GPS. I'd be kind of worried for my drivers, to be honest. If I was a part of dispatch and it's like, yeah, we just hope they're doing all right.
Yeah.
You know, like
they're going through a bad part of the country.
Yeah. Or weather's bad, you know, like all those things, like without like even the, you know, technology we have with weather and being able to like predict that and send out warnings to our drivers and wind speeds, you know, when wind gets a certain level and it's like, if you have a full truck, if you have an empty trailer and wind is this level, like, please stop. Like when I think of like the safety side of things, like there are so many developments that I think maybe weren't anticipated back then, but the need for them arose. And then it's cool over time that to see those develop to what it has become today.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And so that technology really, this starts getting moved into trucking.
Yeah.
So I got that from Brent, our CEO. He said that when he worked at dispatch, that's how they would do it. The driver would have to find a payphone to call dispatch.
Wow.
In order to, you know, to get in contact because cell phones aren't there.
Jeez.
And so, and you would have to call each of the stops that a driver was going on to check, hey, has this driver been by? So it's really changed and GPS, logging, everything has really helped.
When did that kick in?
You know, with technology, 1990s to 2000s, you know, probably early 2000s is about when that happened. So that's about what we're looking at, 2000s. And the year 2000, Brent becomes the CEO of Nussbaum. I believe that's the year that that happened.
Okay.
So
there we go.
Some leadership change, which moved.
So he's been CEO almost 25 years, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty much.
That's cool. I totally knew that.
I totally knew that.
I didn't just now discover
that. He's done a lot, and especially we talked about being a faith-based company, and he's helped move our company in that direction.
Yeah.
More so, which is really, really awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
And the next thing is that in 2018, that Nussbaum became an ESOP. Which is, Sean, do you want to explain what an ESOP is?
Yeah, it's the employee ownership is what it is. We're an employee-owned company, and that truly, so I started in, we're going to get to this next, which is I come to Nussbaum, which is 2019. And one of the big things I heard when I was coming, because this was new, because just the year prior, Nussbaum became employee-owned. So it's like, hey, like, not only like, is this a great place to work? But as you work here, like until you're fully vested, you'll be like growing in how much of your stock ownership you have in the company until you're fully vested and then you own 100% of what your share is, which is so cool because it's not just a matter of like, there, I mean, there's a financial element to it. It's like a second retirement.
Sure.
Almost.
Yeah, for sure.
But on another level, there's like this, I guess, pride in knowing that I own part of the company. So I'm not just some grunt worker for Nussbaum. Like, I have some stake in the game.
You do, yeah.
And I think that really makes me feel more like a part of what's happening here.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, it's like, it's your own money. Like, if Nussbaum's doing well, then you're doing well.
Exactly.
So why did Nussbaum become an ESOP, an employee stock ownership plan?
When we talk about ESOP and why Nussbaum became that, what jumps out to me, one of the reasons that jumps out the most, is like employee retention and satisfaction. Because when we have more buy-in, it makes us, our productivity goes up. We're not just working to work, you know? We're working because we own a part of the company. Like, that's awesome. And it's also assuring to know that Nussbaum then can't just get bought out. Because that's another big reason to go ESOP, is that, you know, some bigger broker company, transportation company just comes through, buys it out, and then the culture completely changes, systems completely changes. Yeah, it's good to know. It makes us feel more like a family, you know? So I think there are a lot of like technical benefits of it too, you know, a lot of other smaller reasons, but the two that really jump out to me is just kind of like the buy-in and retention of employees, and also the fact we know like, hey, we're always going to be Nussbaum. We're not going to become some division of some big giant transportation giant at some point.
Yeah.
Which I think is great.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of the history of Nussbaum trucking, at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are a lot of other trucking companies that are ESOP owned too. I think you see them across, but still kind of a rare thing.
Yeah.
So 2019, you start to see technology is still changing. And one of those things are mirrorless trucks. Mm. That's kind of weird. Like, why would you take the mirrors off a truck?
Yeah. That would be terrifying. I feel like if I'd been a driver for ever, you know, and then it's like, we got this new technology where you don't even have mirrors.
Right.
Like, I'd just be like, I don't know. Can I trust that?
Right.
Can you really trust that? That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. Have you seen some of that stuff?
I haven't ridden in one of those trucks. No.
Oh,
have you?
Man, I haven't ridden. I don't think I've. Well, maybe they had one out one time that we checked. I don't remember. I haven't ridden in one, but I've seen the tech and seen like what it looks like and what it can show you and everything. Yeah. And it's crazy. All of those advancements ultimately can help serve the driver better and have better safety. Like, that's the goal.
Yeah. Right?
We want to increase safety of the driver and also other people who are on the road. So
Cool. Like, I think the night and when it's raining are two ones that are really cool. It's like, it really just cuts through that and you can see really well
because
there's cameras there instead of having those physical mirrors.
Right.
So, but something to get adjusted to, because I think you have to look at a different place than you're normally used to looking to.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of a strange thing. Also, you came to Nussbaum
2019. That's
when
I started. Yep.
And something that is now in our history books for a while, at least, 2020 was the pandemic.
The COVID
which also
pandemic
disrupted transportation
massively.
What happened there?
Yeah. I remember going home. Actually, it was funny because March 18th is my anniversary, what we were talking about, and March 18th was the last day I was in the office in 2020. I remember I did my annual review briefly, and then I packed up all my stuff and went home. So I was like in the process of getting my stuff all packed up, and it's like, okay, let's do your, you know, annual kind of review, and then it's like, okay, and then I'll be home for a few weeks, and then I'll see you guys soon. And that is not what happened. It was a long time before I saw everybody again, because I was remote for very long.
Yeah.
But it was so wild that a lot, from a CAC perspective and operations, a lot of my workload went down. Most people's did, because the need for goods, certain goods, weren't as high. People weren't buying as many things. However, there is always a need for goods. So it was really reassuring knowing that we were in what was considered a essential industry, which transportation was. And it was also really smart of Nussbaum to hold on to all of its people, because eventually when this blows over, what you don't want to do is start cutting your assets and then everything comes back up and right. everything explodes and suddenly you have way less like infrastructure to handle the influx of loads mm-hmm. that come in. So it was really kind of slow there for a while, but I was just truly praising God that mm-hmm. it's like, I'm so happy that I have a job that I know I can be safe in mm-hmm. and that transportation is such an essential industry, mm-hmm. which really just brings us around to the very, very beginning of transportation being this yeah. massive catalyst to the development of civilization. And mm-hmm. that's just that even when the world itself is shut down, you can't shut down transportation. Mm-hmm. Keeps going.
So and that's a quote right there.
Yeah.
SDR.
SDR. Sean David Reischauer. Reischauer.
Yeah. Not Dwight.
Not Dwight. No. No, not. I don't have the privilege of sharing the name with our President Eisenhower. Okay. That was that yeah. was so instrumental to transportation.
Yeah, but. That's a good quote. Even when the world is shut down, you can't shut down transportation.
It's true.
Yeah. I like that. And what you said did come true.
Yeah.
That it bounced back.
Massively.
Yeah.
Massively. Yeah.
They call it revenge huge. Buying. Like people, a lot yeah. of like buying stuff like that they couldn't buy during yeah. COVID.
That, something yeah. like that. I don't know. But I just know some of my slowest times here was during COVID. And then right after COVID was some of my craziest times yeah. here, you know? And it was just, it was like, can you imagine like a year ago, I had like a couple loads, it felt like every day. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, we're just like, being overwhelmed with loads, yeah. but like in a good way, because it was very much, we were kind of in the driver's seat when it came to the market. Mm. And yeah. It was a thriving time for sure, but it also was known to be a temporary thing, right? Yeah. Like we knew that this is a burst right after, and it's just yeah. a good like time to kind of set yourself up for whatever happens next, mm. you know? So, yeah. but it was, yeah, it was an interesting time, I think, in the history of our company, but also in the history of transportation in general, mm. Just kind of reestablishing like the how crucial transportation truly is.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. So then the future.
Yeah. What? Well, we can't skip 2022. Hold on. 2022, Dayton comes to Nussbaum. All right. So that is a part of the history. Yeah. We can't miss that.
Yeah, right.
But then
it's a moment in history.
It is indeed. It's a good moment.
Yeah. It was a good moment. So then the future. What's the future of trucking look like?
What does it hold? I feel like we've just been spitting so many facts of just like, going from this to this to this, it's hard to almost visualize it all. Mm-hmm. I think it would be really cool to see a timeline because mm-hmm. I'm more of a visual kind of dude. Yeah. So being able to see a timeline of like this happens here. And I think what's kind of interesting is we started as early as 4500 BC with the creation of the wheel.
The wheel. Right?
And then we get all the way up to like 1910 with World War One and the Liberty Truck, right? Mm-hmm. So we're talking like, what is that, 6,000 years?
Yeah.
And then after those 6,000 years, we're talking 100 years, and in the 100-year time, you have this massive development of everything just happening all at once.
Yeah,
you know, it just exploded.
Yeah,
which is, I just think it's very fascinating. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff is intellectually intriguing.
Yeah.
to me, to understand kind of our industry more, and then it's like, well, what's next? As all these things have developed, as we've seen technology develop to help increase safety and efficiency in vehicles and things like that. Mm. It's curious to see how that continue develops when it comes to like engineering and technological developments in the truck, when it comes to roads, and when it comes to just how the industry works in general.
Yeah.
And also the history of Nussbaum. We're making history every day in our own way, you know? So yeah. I think it's kind of interesting, but who knows, maybe someday we'll have civilizations on Mars and instead of, OTR trucking, it'll be OTS rocketing over the space rocket.
The OTS division.
Yeah, OTS division. So if any of our drivers, you know, I know some of our drivers got like tanker endorsements and hazmat endorsements. So if you need to get like rocket endorsements and start flying to Mars, you know, I think there might be a little bit more cents per mile. When you're covering all of space, you know. Yeah. I wonder if you'd have to track logs as well.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm sure the fuel costs a lot more.
Yeah, fuel probably, the fuel service charge, I can only imagine.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure it's pretty wild. But, yeah. But then you'd theoretically start all over again. You know, you had a new civilization on Mars, and then you'd start back with a little truck, start developing cities on Mars, start and then next roads. Thing you know, start making roads, and dusty roads, probably plenty of potholes over there too. So probably not too different from Illinois
probably
and Mars
not. As probably
well.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Well, I think it all comes back around.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff, the themes you keep saying, it's like the transportation will always be needed and the technology may change.
Yeah.
You may see more autonomous trucks or having people that work with these trucks in order to get them to get to what they need to do. But
But at the end of the day, like transportation is transportation. Like it is a crucial.
It's essential.
A crucial component in our everyday living. Our well-being, the development of our country and the rest of the world, the globalization, the interconnectedness of people and cultures, all of that truly driven by transportation, which is something that you and I and everybody else in our company gets to be a part of, which is incredible. We're not only delivering goods, but it's in our mission statement where we talk about like everybody you interact with. Like you hope their day is made better by it. Yeah. So we're not just transporting goods. We're also bringing hopefully joy. And I think that's a unique opportunity we have and drivers have in our job where how we communicate with so many different people in so many different places that we can truly influence the world for good. And I mean, maybe it sounds a little melodramatic, but like, I think it is a very special thing. And that's why I'm so grateful for our drivers. I'm so grateful for what they do out there because they represent us to all these people that come across us. And when we're talking about history, we're also talking about the history of NewsBomb. And the reason why NewsBomb can be what it is today is because of all the people that have been involved in it, you know? So transportation, man, it's crazy. It's cool. It's wild.
It's wild.
You know? But yeah, I find this stuff fascinating. I'm a facts dude. Maybe it's a little dry to some others, but I think it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And hopefully you found something in this episode that made you go, that's interesting.
Yeah, hopefully.
Change your perspective a little bit and whether you're interested in truck driving if you listen to this whole episode. And if you disagree with anything we said, let us know.
Yeah, that's true. Marketing. Like that highway thing. Yeah, I think we totally messed that one up on. So,
yeah. Thank you to Daniel for running video, audio.
Yeah.
Thanks to Sean for being here. Thank you to our listeners for listening to this episode. So, anything else?
No, that's it. Just grateful for everybody listening. If you're interested in transportation, to be a part of this industry with you. And, it's a cool thing we're doing. So, cool.
Until next time, stay purpose-driven and own it every moment.
Hi, everyone. This is CJ from Recruiting at NewsBomb, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit newsbombjobs.com. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of NewsBomb Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into the conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow NewsBomb on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.